Alright, so, week two, what's developed? Well, on the note of progress in general, we've had an increase in lockdown security in my area, which means that certain things that I normally would have thought I'd be able to do in multitasking terms got even harder. That means that there's been less readings and less connecting of this work to books. Like, I haven't gone, this is giving me ideas, I'll go check some books and see what I think and come back to it. So instead, I'm putting the ideas out there, and then I'm going to see what I can find when I come back and read this back. So, the idea I was toying around with at the last point was a kind of roll and write. Well, it was Strange Days, which is a asymmetrical multiplayer game with one player playing a sort of cosmic threat and the opponents facing them down being people who are operating in a sort of deliberately low-grade 2020-style sci-fi cyberpunk situation. The setting was always meant to have a certain resonance with right now and the 1980s all at once, because the idea was that we right now do live in an actual cyberpunk dystopia, and therefore to get that kind of mismatch between the tech and the now, I wanted the characters to be stuck using technology for some reason or another that meant they had to get creative with stuff and they couldn't use the conventional sampling while still, the conventional tools of the now, while still connecting themselves to the settings that we have like every day around us. The big problem I had was the thing the threat was meant to be doing every round was meant to be generating a dungeon based on how much time and effort the enemies gave them. And that kind of thing is, like, that's inherently difficult. Because on the one hand, you can hand a player a whole bunch of cards and say, make a dungeon out of this, and then the other players have to fight their way through it. But that hypothetically means that there is a lot of time where that player is sitting there doing nothing, and the other players are waiting for them to finish their turn. Like, you know, this whole planning and project session. Now, there are a bunch of things I tried on this, and one thing or two that might come back here is the idea of the threat spending their turn developing an encounter that then the other players work with. But okay, so I'm trying very hard to not negotiate against myself here, because there is an impetus to always trying to scale my projects down. I understand I want to try and fit this in a box, but I am in the making stage. I should be a bit more freewheeling. The idea is that the players are negotiating over a city. Negotiating, fighting. They're fighting over a city. And this city is represented at setup by a grid of tiles. I don't know exactly how many tiles. One number I like is 25 of them, because that's a 5x5 grid. Another option is a 6x4 grid, which is only 24 tiles, but I don't want it to be too unruly or too large, but I also want the tiles to be large enough so that things can be put underneath them and things can be put on top of them. The idea I'm toying with at the moment is that the threat has a screen, and behind that screen they have a pad. This pad has a grid that represents the city. So they are looking at the city and they have stuff they can do. At every turn, the investigators roll some dice. The threat looks at what they rolled, takes one of the dice away, and makes them discard another one of the dice. So there's a certain degree of variance and things can even out. And then the threat gets to do stuff to something based on the dice that they took. The investigators get to do something with the dice that remains. And that means that let's say that the six faces on the dice include like laundromats and UFO sightings and schools and residential. Like it's the tiles of the city are represented by the dice rolls. The threat is drawing runes in the city on their pad using what comes up in that. Depending on the type of threat they are, that changes how they relate to the cards in the deck. And every turn they get to draw some cards based on what they're doing and based on the runes they're constructing. Now, I wanted to make sure that the pattern of the runes that they're developing is something that the players have some reasonable way of reacting to. Because I don't want this to be one where a player can accidentally cheat, where they can hide information without meaning to. So, the threat You have this dice rolling system. They roll the dice. The threat takes one, discards another. The investigators are remaining with the third. This is effectively making a roll and write game for the threat looking at the city, where they want to try and construct runes that let them do things. Every turn they do this, they draw some cards out of the deck, and that represents what I'm calling at this point cases, because you have to plow through a certain number of problems. You have to develop a certain number of clues. When the threat is going through the cases, when the threat is going through these cards represent moments or incidents or things that happen during a event. It's not so much a spatial thing as much as a linear narrative thing. And when the investigators hit a certain flashpoint, or they discover a rune, or they prove the existence of a rune, then the case cards get put in front of them, and now they have to negotiate their way through the case. During the case, the threat can make some decisions or spend some resources to make them worse, depending on if they want to push the investigators. Kind of like you're DMing in a really competitive way against players who are actually trying to stop you. The other ideas I have in this is that the threat is trying to make sure that they don't gain access to a certain number of clue cards. These clues give revelations about the identity of the threat, and, like, to borrow an idea from Netrunner, if the investigators get all five clues, then there's either a final confrontation or they just win. I don't know. And that means that the investigators are going to be looking in places that are both signified by the runes. That might give them access to a clue. They are looking for locations where they can damage... The clues are going to be kept as on physical cards that are going to be mixed in with the stuff the threat is doing. So when the threat builds a case, they might stick a clue in a case, because getting rid of a clue or claiming a clue is an action. And therefore, that's a way to delay people. They might view them as hit points that they can give up as they're trying to win the game. They could wind up trying to do things like discard them or keep them in their hand permanently. But one of the things that investigators can do is investigate your discard pile. So it might even be that you can wind up discarding your cards into spaces that you've already that have been investigated or revealed as being related to the threat. That creates a fun tension, because it could also leave like cards that are bombs. So imagine if the investigators, there's a role. The threat sees a shape they can make in the city. They choose one of the dice. They mark that dice on their grid. The investigators, knowing the dice that went and knowing some of the other dice that have happened, take a guess and they investigate one of the tiles in the city. They see it. It gets flipped over and it's now a revealed tile. The threat now has like part of its pattern exposed, and the threat then can use that space as a discard spot for any cards that they don't want. So whenever they're making their cases, they might like draw three cards and pitch two, or draw three cards and pitch one. The point is that there's going to be a natural velocity and a throughput. And over time, those clues are going to move around. So you could discard a card into a location. And if there's one card sitting in a location, from an investigator's perspective, looking at that card might not be worth it. But on the other hand, it could be the clue that you're looking for. It could also be something like, you know, a secret cultist or betrayed by your own friends kind of thing that suddenly messes up the investigator and they've got a problem. That's the kind of play pattern I'm kind of structuring. Some ideas I like is I like the idea of avoiding player elimination, so that if you get all five clues really early, you still have a final confrontation with the threat. I like the idea that the threat isn't trying to kill players, it's trying to scar them. The notion that all the players can get away from situations, but if they get scarred too many times and accrue too many traumatic problems, they just stop operating. So you can still play, but you'll be at a reduced effectiveness until the end of the game. And if everyone winds up messed up by it too much, then the threat has an opportunity of returning, or the threat has a chance of slipping through your net. At this point, I know I'm going to need cards. I'm going to need some tiles, I'm going to need the pad, I'm going to need custom dice, I'm going to need decks for the investigators, I'm going to need decks for the cases, I'm going to need scar cards and therapy cards. I'm also going to need like tokens for moving around in the city So things like the investigators themselves, that might be standees. And I also quite like the idea of cultists as little tokens. And the way you do combat with a cultist is you flip it. And if it comes up the dead side, then it's dead. And that could mean that for a very strong character, you flip the token twice. That kind of thing. That's what I got so far.